Thanks for joining the Golf Underground. Now, the Golf Underground is made possible by Mariner Wealth, helping you navigate your financial future. Star Companies KC, experience a more energy efficient and comfortable home with Star's insulation services. Cowell Insurance, providing brokerage and risk management services for over 25 years. Sana Orthopedics, care plans backed by research and clinical results, tailored perfectly to individuals' needs. By The Flats KC, Kansas City's coolest apartment experience. Check them out at theflatskc.com.
Bobsite Ford and Bobsite Independence Kia, where you'll score a double eagle on your next car or truck.
Sheridan's Unforked, eating good and feeling good. Lewisburg Ford, nobody sells more F-150s than Lewisburg Ford. And Celebrity Greens, put a custom PGA caliber putting green in your backyard for the ultimate golf experience. Now, on to the program.
ESPN Kansas City presents Golf Underground, powered by Mariner Wealth Advisors, helping you navigate your financial future.
Hey, welcome to Golf Underground, ESPN Radio. We're back in a new stable. The new stable, the George Brett stable. Can we tell the listener that we're in that? How would you describe this basement area that
this
we're in right
is
now?
A touch of Kansas City, because as you notice, every picture on the wall is something of Kansas City. Wow. In this room,
so
right
good.
Here. And this was where my kids used to rumble when they were all living at home. And then my wife redid this room about, I'd say 5 years ago. And it's the third time I've been in here.
So amazing.
Obviously, really? We don't use it very much, but it's a beautiful room, I think.
So, really, George, when we finish out the vault at the actual golf stable, there's a hallway that makes its way down to the vault. And I would love to do some Kansas City things. And I've just come up with some ideas. And if you miss a peanut off the wall or a stadium the wall, you know where to find
it. Or a Kelly's, a sign outs from outside Kelly's in Westport, or...
Well,
or a
and then,
panoramic view of downtown overlooking the lake.
I like that.
I know where I'm going to go shopping, George.
Right here.
Yeah. This is amazing.
You thought Pebble Beach in the stable was a good look. That's kind of cool.
You know, I was really pushing to do it in his library with all his bats and all his fancy balls and all that. But, you know, he just maybe next interview he'll let us in there.
It wouldn't be as comfortable. I mean, here we're sitting at a table. Like when we do the show at the original stable, we're all leaning over and doing all that stuff. And if you have a beer, you got to put it on the ground because there's
your
no place
cup.
To put it. Now we have a table and we're all sitting around a table. Yeah. I think it's going to make it flow a lot better.
Hey, do you remember the old show, the sports reporters?
Yeah.
On Sundays?
Yeah.
Dick Schaap.
Right?
Yeah, Dick Schaap.
And then who else was on there? The Kansas City boy. Jason Whitlock.
Jason Whitlock, sport report.
This feels like a classy sports reporter setup.
I think this is what we should do. We should do all our shows down here, and we'll put up, take that painting down, and we'll put the golf stable behind us or golf underground.
This is such a good annex, George.
This is fantastic.
Is that good? Ashley, would you come back and do it year two?
Absolutely. We're literally golf underground right now.
We are golf underground.
Look at this.
I never thought of it.
She's the branding expert. She is. Now, George, you're fresh off of a nice airplane. You came back from Arizona. Mm-hmm. What'd you do? Played golf?
Well, I went to Cabo for 5 days and just relaxed and played golf once at Twin Dolphin and Freddie Couples Design. It was beautiful. I loved it. The food was as good as any I've ever had on a golf course. It's one of those, what they call them, the Red Barns. After our buddy Zank, I think. But we were on the second hole, and the guy made us two fresh, really small egg burritos. And then about the 12th hole, we went by another one, and we had some ahi tacos. And they're freshly grilled right in front of you. I mean, it was unbelievable. And the tequila, the beer, and everything, it was a wonderful trip there. And then I went to Arizona for 3 days.
Gosh, do you ever get tired after these trips? You know, because I get gassed. I played whole, golf 3 days in a row, you know?
Yeah.
Had a bad
I just
back.
Played 3 days in a row.
And you're fine. Yeah, right? You got a Coors Light in front of you. Well, you're ready to go. Fine, why am I so grumpy today?
I can't, because you've been in Kansas City where it's been raining every day for 9 days.
Might as well live in
Cabo,
Seattle.
Where it was 82, and then I was so in Phoenix, true. It was 99 and 100.
Oh. Yep. Yeah.
And I will take their 99 degrees there over 90 degrees here any day.
Get a whole dry heat.
Played golf, you didn't even sweat.
Really?
Didn't even sweat once.
The ball goes far, too.
Yeah. All
right. Well, listen. It's a dry heat out there.
It's that what they say.
It's not. This is the humidity here. The allergies.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It takes a little getting used to.
Well, I'm about to give you the formal introduction here, Ashley, in a second. But I think it's important to know that over the course of April and May, it rained a lot. And I find myself going to Starbucks more, and I'm thinking of picking up smoking Marlboros. And I, you know, I don't know if it's, I'm more Seattle, a little grungy. I'm playing Kurt Cobain all the time. And so I don't, maybe this is my problem. Is depressing cool?
Well, for everything she stands for, I don't think there's anything depressing about all of her accomplishments in the game here.
So this would be therapy. All right, so let's do a formal intro. We got Ashley Huizing. Now, we've got so many fun things to talk about because you are, we'll talk about your formal bio, but you're on a road trip right now. And so we're going to talk a lot about this really cool trip because I got to tell you, when I pull up in front of George's house and I see a big Callaway RV, I mean, you're thinking there's probably going to be six guys pop mm-hmm. out of there, yep. right? All hungover, like a bachelor party. Mm-hmm. It's a one-woman band traveling across the country. You
with
come in
two dogs. Somebody,
two dogs.
Two dogs. Those a bike. Are precious to you, right?
A bike.
A bike. I saw the bike. There were some weird hoses and shit back there, too. I mean, it was like
It's a smaller RV. I'm looking to possibly upgrade, but, you know, you just have to make space wherever you can find it, and, you know.
I kind of like it.
It's great.
Yeah, don't you apologize for that RV. It looks like a Humvee. I mean, that looks like you should be attacking Baghdad in that thing. So, Ashley, it's great to have you. You're first woman pro, PGA professional, head pro at Rancho Santa Fe, and, you know, that alone is quite a accomplishment. But what interested me, honestly, was your love of this game, but now you're really trying to find ways to create memories through it. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the people you've met in this tour and in this journey. But I think it'd be silly for us boys not to talk about, because we haven't spoken since the big Phil Mickelson victory, and Wardo, we haven't brought that up, your take on the PGA, followed up by a really nice tournament. Our boy Gary Woodland's playing pretty nice lately. He's getting this close.
He's knocking on the door. So I think he'll have a good week this week at the Memorial and keep doing it. So he's finally a little more healthy, and he's moved back to Kansas on Sunday. So maybe he'll see a little more of us, and that awesomeness will rub off on him.
Nice. And he's got his backyard thing, George, right? You helped out? Little celebrity green?
We did help out designing it, Kevin and I, back in the stages. And then during installation was when it started raining.
Yeah.
I never went out there. Well, even the day we were there mapping it out for him, because it rained. It was so wet. Muddy.
Oh, we were wearing these boots.
I had to bring Kevin some big galoshes that come up to your knees.
And we both didn't freaking tie our shoes. So we kept coming out of the galoshes.
I almost watched George eat shit three times.
And so you know what was funny? I remember before that we were talking about rangefinders. They're going to be able to use them.
Yeah,
everybody loved it, and they said it sped up play.
Oh, wait!
Bullshit! Bullshit!
Right now,
right. In our big debate,
I was the only guy saying, "Oh, it's going to speed up play. Wait and see." And you guys both said you're full of shit. And the next thing you know, I just had to get that.
Did it really speed up play? Do you have data on this? Because I have fact checkers, George.
Okay.
It slowed it down, if anything. I mean, come on.
I didn't see him use it.
They're playing 6-hour rounds out there. Yeah. No, but you know, when we were doing this, walking around in our galoshes, I'm sitting there thinking, would Gary do this for me? And the answer is probably fucking no.
Really?
No.
Why?
And we're sitting there. I'm designing. I got the sport court to move from the other side of the property. I mean, so instrumental in this. I should get royalties off this thing.
I thought you were kind of getting a little involved to help your boy out over Celebrity Greens. Clear, by the way, fine sponsor of the Golf
Celebrity Greens. Good old Weston Weber. I was just texting him. Sidecar, we're going to have Mark O'Meara on the show hopefully soon. I gave his caddy a lesson yesterday. He was making his way north. He caddied at Southern Hills in the senior PGA, was making his way north to the Wakanda Club in Des Moines, Iowa. So checked in on his game. Great swinger of another Aussie. These Aussies, These Aussies all have great technique except for James Nitties. But James will find it someday.
Yeah, he will. All right. Well, so let's get back to Ashley Huizing. All right. So Ashley, tell the listener a little bit of your background, and then what leads someone who's, I wouldn't say did a traditional PGA golf pro gig. You're kind of a freak right now. And so tell the folks what you're doing, please.
Bring it on. You know, I like to be called that. That's fine. You know, yep. So here's the thing.
We only have freaks in here.
Okay. Well, good. Then I'm part of the crowd.
Yes.
So really, you know, my goal with playing golf, I played in college and high school. I got so burned out. I just put my clubs away for 5 years. I just couldn't stand it anymore. And that burning fire in your gut that says, come back to the game, you know, it just brought me back. And so I ended up going to the golf academy. I got my my certification to be a club pro there. And so I started my journey in club pro life. And it was really eye-opening. It was fun. I started out at the Grand Golf Club, semi-private. I moved to private after that over at Rancho Santa Fe as an assistant pro. I left, and then here comes this fitness side that is just a passion of mine. So NASM, Certified Personal Trainer. I did TPI, which is something that we talked about a lot today mm-hmm. at the golf stable. And, you know, the opportunity to become the head pro had presented itself, and who turns that down?
Yeah,
So I go back, and same club. I already knew kind of the intimate workings of the community and the club and all the membership. So I was obviously, that made me an asset as a candidate. And so, 2 years of probably the best part of my professional career, a lot of lessons learned, a lot of great experiences. And, you know, it was just toward the end, I just realized it wasn't for me for the long haul. And so here comes the nice pivot in my career of buying the RV and just driving around the country.
Gosh, that's and funny.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, back to you getting that job, right? So you were the first woman head pro.
Yes.
At any course in the country?
No, just at that course.
Rancho Santa Fe.
At Rancho Santa Fe.
So why do you think they chose you?
Again, I think the intimate knowledge of the community, how the course ran, how the club ran. You know, we're really unique there. I say we, like I'm still there. But that club is very unique. So it's kind of a community club. It's run by the association, but it's also a private club. So you have kind of a different mixture of members. And so being able to come in and know half of them already, kind of know how I ran the entire women's program there, which, you know, at a lot of clubs that can be, you know, the program that usually needs a lot of the help. So it was nice to be able to come back in and really support all the women and give them the events that they deserve. So just like our major signature events for the men. And so it just happened. It was an incredible opportunity, and I couldn't turn it down.
So you just got sick of selling Argyle socks out of the 19th?
You know, it was really, I just got sick of folding the polos.
Oh, so true.
I mean, who wants to do that?
Well, I think it's what's kind of fascinating, and when you and I met through a good friend, Matt Christian, down in Austin in Arkansas, he basically, you know, we just kind of hit it off immediately in terms of our passion. And I would say that my route through the golf industry has been non-traditional per se, and I just think with the advent of fitness and technology, and there's a lot of different things that allow you to help people out, and so that's kind of the route I'm going, and clearly where you're at and with what you're doing with all the great things and going around the country and talking to great professionals, seeking advice, also interviewing and all that, it's intriguing, and I applaud you for doing it, because clearly I don't think the three of us could do it, and we think it's amazing.
I get my ass kicked.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
So, and obviously your game speaks for itself. We had a nice round yesterday and some nice Seattle weather.
Yeah.
But it's impressive what you're doing. So keep on doing it.
Thank you. I think that there's such an opportunity with my lifestyle right now that I'm able to do this. You know, I'm not married. I don't have any children yet. And so I really am able to just freely kind of travel. And I hear that a lot from the other pros that I meet with, too. They're like, God, if I didn't have kids and a wife or a husband at home, you know, I would do it, too. I'd hop in your RV and travel with you. And which, by the way, anyone is welcome. I always have a seat open in the RV.
I thought the dogs sit ride shotgun.
Nope, in the back.
In the back?
They're in the back.
Sounds like an invitation like Tom Coyne had when he was doing his walk around Ireland.
Yeah.
He would just go on. Anybody can come play with me whenever they want.
Yeah.
You know?
Your favorite interview, by the way.
Yeah, it was great. You know, I got both his books finally. I got all three of them. Paper Tiger.
It was early.
I got all three of them.
They just launched another one, I heard.
Did they?
Golf in America, something?
No, a Course Called America.
A Course Called America.
Hello, were you not listening to his interview? It was all about that damn book.
Well, Yes.
Jeez, I forgot.
We've done about 47 interviews since then.
We have. All right. So Ashley, question for you, because there's obviously a moment where it hits you, where maybe you're in the pro shop, maybe you're out doing a lesson, maybe it's late and you're just sick of working all during the weekend, and something hits you. You said, "Damn it, I'm gonna get an RV and I'm getting out."
Yeah.
Right. Tell us about like that moment where you just said, or was it sort of a slow roll?
No, you know what? It's kind of been this slow roll of wanting to travel and see the rest of the country. I grew up in Phoenix and I've lived in San Diego for 14 years now. So just kind of being enticed by the rest of the country. I wanted to see golf everywhere and not just in, you know, the Southwest. And I had already done two trips to Cabo. You know, I'd already done the beach thing, the boat thing, the, you know, paper umbrella and your drink thing. And I thought, you know what? Like, that's really
fun. Sully's still doing that.
I love that. I love that.
I mean, it's great. It's definitely great. Yeah, right. And I, you know, I'll go back and have some more. But I thought, let's just hop in an RV and I'm going to drive around the country. I rented a Cruise America RV. It was terrible. Barely made it. I drove it all the way to Wisconsin with a couple of my girlfriends. We found some sponsors who wanted to just give us some gear and really support what we were doing. And I just thought, being a newer head pro, young in my career, I'm not going to tell everybody how old I am, but I, you know, I look young, I'm early in my career, so I think there was just this validation I needed, you know, to have more knowledge and more experience, because I think it helped all of the members feel more confident with me in charge. And so that's really what it all came from. So one day I just said, you know what, I have 3 weeks of vacation. I don't want the paper umbrella anymore. I'm going to get the RV. I'm going to go. And let's just talk to all the pros along the way.
And what do you want to do? You want to write a book with this?
I'm writing a book. Yes. Writing a couple books, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Tell us about it.
So one of the books is about the journey in the RV and all of the people that I have met. And
whatever you do, don't put George in there, please.
He's going to be chapter one.
Just put the little flower shop in there, by the way.
You should drive by the flower shop and get a little bouquet of flowers to keep in your van.
Now we're talking.
That. I will.
Yeah. Maybe I'll run down there after this and grab you some.
Okay. Love that.
That would be so romantic.
I know the owner.
George, you should bring her flowers to dinner. I would love that.
All right. So when did you start on this jaunt? You going segments here or what is this?
Yeah. So I did the first trip I drove out October of 2019. I came back 30 days later and I put in my notice at Rancho.
Nice.
And then I bought the RV in February 2020, right before a pandemic happened and right before everybody else started buying RVs, which actually ended up being perfect because I think I still got a really good deal on mine, whereas they were just hiking up prices after, you know, everybody found out they couldn't fly anywhere. It's been a really, really fun journey. I have met with probably 25 people, and I know you. So I see you have the website up there. It's not, you don't see a lot of the content on there because I'm still organizing kind of how I want to share the journey with everybody. So we'll be coming out within the next month or so, and the book hopefully by the end of the year. But
does the book have a title yet?
It does not. Okay.
Ooh.
George can help you with that.
Let's have a little session, George. Help her out.
We'll start thinking about it.
There's more than one book. You want to tell them about the second book?
The second book is kind of an intro to golf, ego-free, nice intro to golf book for anybody who's learning how to play golf. So I'm going to tell everybody, like, this is the really cool part I love about it. So we're the same age here. So do you remember those books growing up, the Choose Your Own Adventure books?
I do.
Okay, so you could read down and you could decide if you want Jim to go through the cave, you'd go to page 74. If you want him to, you know, jump over the bridge, he's going to page 56. So that's kind of what this is. So when I say ego-free book, I mean you are in control of your own journey through this book. So you can decide if you want to learn how to properly fix the divot, you can go to page, you know, 72. If you feel like you're above that, which no one is, by the way. Then you could go on to the next page and you can choose your own adventure through what knowledge you want to acquire from the book.
That's nice.
That's pretty good. Yeah. By the way, she referenced that we're the same age. Well, I asked her yesterday, you know, you're never supposed to ask a woman her age, right? So I think I'm kind
of... How old is she, Kevin?
I'm kind of a numbers guy. So I went with the route of, I said, so tell me, when did you graduate college?
She goes, ooh, good one.
Well, I did great an extra one. Year and I went and did an extra this and that. And then I said, okay, well, that's a long... Okay, I'm not getting to my answer here. All right, when did you graduate high school? Okay, we got closer. And then I go, by the way, all I was trying to do is figure out how old you are.
The what polite did you shoot way on the front nine?
Yeah.
34. Okay, bingo.
Yeah, there it is. Warm, the polite way is saying, how old are you? I didn't learn much as a kid, but my mother clearly said, don't ask a woman how old
she is. Well, it's why you waited so long to get engaged yourself. Because exactly. you were very good at that. So what do you hope to have learned about yourself in this? And I don't want to get overly deep and cheesy on you, but you're not doing this just to go play some rounds of golf and go meet some folks. I mean, is there some deeper purpose that you here?
Honestly, I was trying to see where my next move was going to be. If I fell in love with somewhere in the country that I wanted to move or relocate. Nice. And I mean, this whole thing started very selfishly. I was trying to be the best pro I could be, bring back knowledge and experience to my club and be able to have epic events and see what's working in Florida and in Wisconsin and how we could relate, you know, some of their events that are working back at home. And so everything is selfish. I'm a complete selfish human being here.
In order to be good at the game of golf or be good in the industry, I tell my students all the time, you know, you're working 40 hours, you got family, you have to carve out time and be selfish if you truly want to improve or better yourself.
That is true. So, I mean, at the end of the day, yes, it's a selfish journey, but I am trying to see if I fall in love with a place around the country that I'd like to live. But also just be the best I can be and really be able to take the opportunity to highlight and feature some of the other great thought leaders that are really pushing the game of golf, which is like Mr. Kevin Ward over here.
Thought leader. So yes. when you're looking at some of the cities and some of the things you've seen, what cities, you know, if you had to name your top two or three that stand out right now, hopefully we scratch the surface of like 10th or 11th, but where, what places have just been like, wow, this place has it in terms of a city or even a club for that matter.
Oh, okay. So again, I grew up in the Southwest. So I would say, gosh, Charlotte has been amazing. Nashville. I mean, I never really visited this part of the country, and I still have yet to get up to the Northeast. So sorry, everyone from the Northeast. I can't really add any value to that question there because I have not been there yet, but I will be at some point soon. But I would say Nashville, Charlotte, and of course Kansas City.
Yes. Kansas City, of course. Kansas City, a distant ninth. Yeah. We're gonna feed her some barbecue tonight. She's gonna fall in love with some ribs from. I don't know. Whoever wants to sponsor the show.
She's drinking her ginger ale right now, right out of a Meet Mitch cup. Did you notice that?
Yeah, there you go.
But is it out of a Meet Mitch cup?
But is it ginger ale? I don't think it is.
Oh,
you know, in fact,
it looks like ginger ale.
Sure does.
Hey, who was the last great woman golfer we had on the program? Golf Channel. Come on, help me.
Help me. Okay, you're gonna have to cut this.
I get Ashley. Here's the point: after the first segment, awesome. You know, we started bringing the walls down, getting to know her, and she said, "Do you mind if I just go get a scotch right now?" And we spoke for about an hour and 20 minutes. Oh. We're totally shithoused by the fourth commercial.
It's perfect.
So maybe we could do that with you.
Goals for today.
All right, hey, listen, we're with Ashley Huizing. She is on the trek across America. She's not trying to change the planet. She's trying to create memories, drink some scotch, and have a great time. So come on back. We're going to teach you a little bit about getting rid of back fat in your golf swing. You're on a Golf Underground ESPN Radio.
Looking for Casey's best and coolest apartment experience? We have it, and it's called the Flats Casey.
The Plants KC is committed to providing an exemplary living experience by offering the best in-class residential communities in the most sought-after neighborhoods in Kansas City. With a focus on meticulous restoration and renovations of vintage properties, we aim to take the beauty of vintage and seamlessly unite it with modern touches. If you love urban living and are in the market for a freshly renovated apartment, The Flats Kansas City has options to fit every price range. Check us out at theflatskc.com or give us a call today at 816-454-3118.
Hey, Brian Sullivan of Golf Underground with my favorite orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Kevin Witte from Sano Orthopedics. Hey, Doc, golf season's over. My back is killing me. I know it's football season, so you get a lot of kids coming in, blown ACLs, all sorts of body parts with problems. And then, of course, those baseball players. I know you fix a lot of elbows. Why is Sano Orthopedics the absolute best sports medicine orthopedic group in Kansas City?
Well, if you want to see the guys in town, I've had the best orthopedic fellowship training in sports medicine, including training with Dr. James Anders and Dr. Larry Lemack. Come see us. We individualize patients' plans to get them back to that activity and that sport that they love, and we actually care and listen to our patients and follow up with them, make sure that they're getting the results they need.
Okay, and so the three things that separate you: number one, best training; number two, you specialize in getting people on that field; number three, you're actually listen. Where can I learn more? Because you got me all in, and I don't really want to get fixed, but it's time.
At sanoorthopedics.com, 816-525-2840.
Hi, this is George Brett, Hall of Fame baseball player, and I've been playing golf for over 35 years. Hitting the ball far was never my problem, but the closer I got to the greens, that's when my problems began. When I wanted a golf practice area in my backyard, I called Celebrity Greens. They are the industry leader in custom-built synthetic golf greens. These championship-caliber, low-maintenance greens roll great, react like real bent grass, and hold chip shots that check and spin. I absolutely love mine, not only in Kansas City, but also in Arizona. Call the pros at Celebrity Greens at 1-888-507-7960 or visit them online at celebritygreens.com. Practice like the pros, or people like me that want to be pros, right in your own backyard.
Hey, welcome back. Golf Underground, ESPN Radio. We're having a great program. We've got Ashley Husing coming in with an RV, two dogs, and a great attitude. And so, hey, if you didn't join us in the first segment, we were talking about how Ashley is traveling the country in her RV, meeting a whole bunch of people. And I like your angle that if you meet a whole bunch of thought leaders, used loosely, Kevin.
Yes, George.
No, but you're able to see best practices, good tournaments, see what other people are doing. And frankly, that's got to help the hell out of your brand when you go back there, because you're going to have Phyllis. Oh, Ashley, tell me about that time in Nashville. Get over here, Susie, right? You're going to become famous amongst the ladies and the men.
Phyllis and Susie are my favorites, by
the
way. We actually had this conversation yesterday on the golf course on whether we would ever be club pros. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting. I just want to get to know her journey. And I just think, you know, the traditional route for me wasn't the route I could go for various reasons. And I could talk for 7 hours about that. But I think what I was challenging her on was, you know, the why in the aha moment. And I think you referenced when you took, you know, a sabbatical and did a road trip, you know, you said, well, what did you say? You said you weren't yearning to go back to the position, or you were ready to move on. And so,
right. I said to you yesterday, if I came back hungry and ready to go back to work, then I would know that that's what I needed. I just needed a vacation. But when I got back, I was hungry for something else, and it wasn't to be a club pro. And like no offense to any club pros out there. You have to be kind of a certain person, I think. And I couldn't take some of the stuff that comes with it, I guess. And so my journey really took more of a positive route of learning from those who've accomplished a lot in their careers, who have overcome the challenges, who have really made marks in their roles. And that's what I wanted to learn from. So when I was traveling, it was really about that. It was about learning from everybody else and I guess my journey still continues.
Yeah. Ashley, how long are you in Kansas City for?
I am here until Wednesday.
Wednesday, and today's Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday.
You're leaving Wednesday, and then which way are you heading?
I'm going
I down. Have an idea for you.
Oh.
Okay. Which way are you heading?
Idea. I'm going to Arkansas.
Arkansas. Okay, this is kind of the opposite direction.
Okay.
But there's a town about 35 miles from here called Lawrence, Kansas.
Okay.
Where KU is. And that's, I switched your glass over to, now you're up. You're a
Oh, even pointed it towards the camera.
You're a huckaholic.
I'm a huckaholic.
Okay. We have some good friends there that we play golf with, and Kevin obviously played golf there. But we also have a good friend that just became a golf pro there at Lawrence Country Club, and okay. Chris Thompson, Stinky, he played on the tour forever. Okay. And he was on the mini tours, you know, and then he got his big card, and then he tried that last year and didn't quite make it and was battling the way. He's got a lovely story. Got
great
wife,
story.
He's got kids. His wife has always supported him while she's out chasing his dream. And he was just named probably 2 months ago as the head pro at Lawrence Country Club.
Wow.
Less
and
than
it
that.
Would be a really funny, a fun story for you to go talk to him.
I would
love about
to.
The transition from trying to chase your dream and become a tour player and all of a sudden maybe realizing, you know, it's just not going to work out. And how old's Stinky?
But what's amazing about his story, he's mid-40s.
Mid-40s.
What's amazing about his story is he went to Q school. He's had extreme amount of success. Went to Q school, I'm going to call it 15, 18, 20 times, okay?
Wow.
And finally got his card through Korn Ferry Tour 2 or 3 years ago. And the fact, what I'm so proud about him for is he got to the pinnacle, right?
Right.
He arrived. And so I'm so glad he pursued the dream. And I get it. Life, our bodies, at some point, what's great about longevity in the game, and look at Mickelson, you asked me this earlier, the Mickelson and the 50-year-old winning a major, we're going to see somebody older than that hopefully win another major, right? And guys competing in the now on the PGA Tour Champions, these guys are better athletes and they're more fit and they're it's just unbelievable the game and the longevity. Now we got 20 and 18-year-olds coming out and now you can play as, you know, and so when Woodland talks about the bombing craze and DeChambeau and all these guys doing things, Woodland knows if he's healthy, he can compete. If he can compete, he can make money. He can be out there for years upon years. And so that's what's so great about our game is you don't have a shelf life like basketball, tennis,
baseball,
or soccer, or baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and Phil said the reason he won last week is because he can still bomb it.
100%.
But you have to, right? It was 7,800 yards. We were talking about it in our Korn Ferry show. And you had to do it. But guys like him can still do it. And I was interested when he said, I have to work harder now. Well, 100%. That's okay. It's a choice. Then work harder.
Right.
But let's back up. Let's back up. Because I think everybody wants this fancy, shiny object. Give me the driver that gets me 20 yards or this or that. Like, again, sorry, manufacturers. It doesn't exist. What does exist is a lifestyle change, eating, sleeping, recovery, all the things that go into that to play better golf. Yes, the byproduct of all of that stuff and the hard work, no matter what level you're playing at, is bombing it. But you're not going to, no one has a magic pill that's going to be like, oh yeah, here you go. Here's 30 yards.
Right.
I mean, if we've hung out a long time, I haven't handled.
Well, and I
yards.
Think what I just learned is I'm not going to buy that driver from you that I planned on buying from you this week.
You're just going to go get a steak.
He just lost
you're
an order.
Eat a big steak
go buy
tonight.
It on
he
eBay.
Says, right. He says I so actually
Kevin
got to
says
work.
It's what you eat. It's how much you sleep. How much sleep should you get to be able to drive?
Well, I used to pride myself on 0 hours of sleep a night. I used to average about 5.5. Now I average 7.5. I try to get 8. But it's rare that happens.
Mm-hmm. And you eat. What do you eat to hit it 30 yards farther?
You don't eat anything to hit it farther, George. Well, you do.
But that's what you said. It's what you eat, what you sleep, you change your lifestyle. I thought when you said you'd change your lifestyle, I said you come to my workout or you do all these stretching classes, you increase your flexibility, you know.
Well, let's pick on a guy.
I think that's the biggest key.
Well, let's pick on a guy that's slightly overweight, okay? What he eats.
So he is he talking about you and I?
No. He has a better chance.
Hey, you just shot even par.
He has a better chance to rotate if, yes, I hear all the time, if I just lost this, I'd hit it 20 yards farther. That's actually complete bullshit. If I teach somebody to move better, if I teach somebody to use their feet, use their ground, the ground better, yeah, it's all within reason, but there's plenty of people, Shane Lowry, there's plenty of people that aren't perfect specimens.
Harry Higgs,
he uses the ground well. His body moves extremely well. So the whole thing of, oh, I need to lose weight. Actually, losing weight for several golfers, we've seen it. Gary Woodland lost weight.
Darren Clark.
People have lost weight. Duval lost weight. That doesn't mean you're going to play better.
Right.
And so, yes, eating well will preserve. It'll help you recover. It'll do a lot of things. But, again, it's about lifestyle. And that's all Phil's been saying this whole time is 10 or 12, 15 years ago, we're talking about Phil and he's dumpy guy with the, you know, Argyle socks guy. And now he's he's fit. And when we were watching golf the other day, Sarah was like, he actually has some arms on him. And I'm like, yeah.
He's got some calves, too.
He's got some calves. Oh, is that an intro? And do you want to talk about your calves?
No. I have big calves, but mine are real flabby. He's got calves. And, you know, when he walks, you can see that muscle climb up your leg a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't see that in mine.
Well, maybe what we can do, Johnny Drama from the show Entourage, which I'm a fan of, you know, he talks a lot about calf implants on that show. So maybe we can have him on our
show. I'll get lipo on my calves.
Wait, do we have it recorded that Phil Mickelson has better calves than George Brett?
Oh, yes.
There it is.
Oh. I got calves that look like John Langbein's.
Amazing.
All right, so it's a good segue into this other little teasing part of your life because you have what I call ADD, which is what all of us at this table have, right? I chase more fun memories, shiny objects. I get bored to shit really easy. And fitness became something fun for you, right? So tell us why you went all in on that.
So I always knew that if I was never going to be a golf pro or a club pro, that would be, I would do something in fitness. It's the only other thing that makes me get up in the morning and it excites me and I'm ready to go run. I'm ready to do a Pilates class, a yoga class, a bar class, do kettlebells or whatever it is. Fitness to me is something that is a part of my lifestyle. It's like breathing. So I have to do it at least 5 times a week. And I think that, like when we're talking about lifestyle, I mean, I have to ask, okay, 68 years old, club champion, how much of that is attributed to your lifestyle?
Good question. Good question. Yeah.
Well, I like to consider myself as an athlete. You know, so at least I'm athletic. Mm-hmm. I'm athletic. We're down in the basement here of the house. You've seen.
Oh, it's Golf Underground.
Golf Underground. You've seen the kids' locker room, showers, and bathroom. That's the only thing you've seen in the house. But you go down that hall, and there's a workout room.
Yes.
And I go in there pretty much every day.
Okay.
I walk my dog 3 to 4 miles every day, 9 o'clock.
Wow.
Unless it's raining. London gets so mad at me. I have a steam and a sauna. I take a steam and a sauna. I stretch a lot. And I'm 60. I just turned 68 a couple weeks ago. I'm hitting as far as I ever have. I really am.
That's amazing.
So
the golf ball doesn't know how old you are, huh?
No, the ball. And neither does my Callaway driver.
Yes, Callaway.
There we go.
Ronnie, what like the freebies it will do for
neither
you.
Neither does my Callaway driver.
By the way, this segment's brought to you by...
Either did the Titleist driver, my rental clubs in Cabo. Man, I was bombing that thing.
That's what I hit. Yeah. 218 right down the middle.
It was unbelievable.
So in other words, you're trying to say that there's a lot of good things out there in the industry in terms of equipment and technology.
There's a lot of good equipment, but you know what? It's not... what's that old saying? It's not the bow, it's the archer
it's
or something.
It's not the Indian. Arrow. Yeah.
Whatever
the
Indian one is.
Deep. This something deep like shit that right here. Yeah.
So to compound on her question, right? So... what physically, and I know the answer to this, so they always say ask a question you know the answer to. What physically did you do? Let's call it you won the club championship when you were 64 years old, which is unbelievable.
Right.
What have you done?
Sorry.
What have you, well, he's old now. What have you done to your body, or what were you doing then to keep up to movement, the mobility, the flexibility, in order to give yourself a chance? Let's throw X's and O's out for a second. How the hell did you have a chance?
He dominated you emotionally and mentally. Continue. Well,
that's true.
Mentally, I did.
Right.
Mentally, he I asked you to ride in the cart.
Buried him on the third hole. Kevin, what are we doing for dinner tonight? How's Sarah doing?
You made it hard for him to hate you.
When are you going
to
get married?
Literally, I win the first hole.
You were a two up after two.
He goes, "Why don't you, will you close me out quick? I want to go walk the dogs." And I go, "Oh, Jesus, here we go." Unbelievable.
No, well, you know, Kevin, my routine's the same. You know, when that week, I was just in the groove and I didn't have any negative thoughts. And, you know, it was like, I just slowed everything down a little bit. You know, I'm just here. The first round, I thought Kevin was going to wax me, should have waxed me. He didn't. The next round, I played really good. The next round, I played good. And then the last round, I played the best. I shot even par to beat Norton. But it was just one of those things where the game slowed down. And I always say this in baseball. You got to slow the game down. If you slow the game down, it becomes easier. And I've used this example before on the show. You get up, and if I was facing Rich Goose Gossage in the bottom of the ninth inning or top of the ninth inning, and the game tied or one run down or one run up, and the game's on the line, and I really believe whoever heart beats the slowest is the guy that's going to win, because he's really good, I was really good, and who can relax the most, who can be the most fluid in those crunch times is the guy that's going to come out on
top.
Well,
and you saw that.
Now, granted, I could hit a ball hard, and that's all I get paid to do is hit a ball hard. If I hit a ball hard and it went right at somebody, he wins.
Yeah.
But the times that we talk about me facing him, the balls were home runs instead of line drive at the second baseman or ground ball or a fly ball to deep center field, you know. And I think it was because I was more relaxed than he was.
Well, good example, when you looked at Phil a few weeks ago,
He was moving so slow and taking his time. And I don't know, you go back to that one U.S. Open that he lost when he was playing in Wingfoot.
Yeah.
And I would love to see the old video of that, watching him up there on the tee getting ready to hit, and then watch this one.
I bet he watched it.
I guarantee he was slowing it down a little bit.
Well, let's
it down, breathing.
So let's talk about this too. The advent, when he turned 50, was the advent of the aviator shades. Also, I'm seeing an extreme amount of visualization, right? So it's a little less awkward to stand up on a tee when no one can see you.
Close your eyes.
Yeah, and do all the visualization, right? So kind of back to the wellness thing, right? And again, I need to do a better job of this as a player and with my students, is the visualization, positive thinking, et cetera. But I guarantee you there might be a little correlation there between the aviators and the visualization.
That and the CBD gum.
And I was going to say the gum.
Really?
The gum.
Tiger did it when he won the Masters, right? But I'd like to compare his pulse rate to Jordan Spieth over the past few years, right? Even now, Jordan still looks like, you know, he
wants it so bad.
He wants it so bad.
And how about last week in Dallas? He loses by one shot, you know?
Right.
He's been top five every tournament this year after sucking for 2 years after being number one. And now all of a sudden, he's even in his hometown. And he's going, he's in contention every week.
Yeah, he is.
He's in the last two or three groups every week.
He's top 10 at FedEx points.
But that goes to show you, though, how deep the tour is. And then also, when you're grinding, and don't get me wrong, he probably hit it extremely well day one when he shot 64 and 68. But he didn't, you know, I think he referenced the Dottie Pepper, one of our idols here at the stable.
Dottie.
He referenced the Dottie going up 18. Like, it's hard to compete when you've got nothing. And so that guy is ultimate grinder. But, you know, you're not going to beat a guy, Kokrak, that's bombing it past you and hitting it straighter. I mean,
why?
Well, I think the last
done in the past.
100% you are. But again, he's done such a good job grinding. But 72 holes, you know, he's been in competition 4 out of the last 6 weeks, call it. At some point, he's not going to come out on top. I know he's only come out on top once lately, but that's the difference. I mean, you got to strike it.
And Gary faces this. I would say Gary has a very slow way about him. That's got to be purposeful.
Right.
But what we see isn't always what's going on in their brain, right? We really don't know when the self-doubt kicks in. Sometimes you get to see it. Sometimes you're like, oh, shit. You just saw something go south. And I think when Gary at the PGA, you know, he doubled. He was a number 7, right? He hit it right. He's over there in 2. He has to chili dip it out a little bit. And you saw something change. Now, his body language didn't really change, but you just almost saw his face become defeatist. And I don't know. It's the hardest thing to fix, George. But, I mean, yeah, that's why there's sports psychologists are getting paid a lot of money.
But you can't let one negative thought in your mind. You can't do it. But if once thinking, a negative thought gets in your mind, you're screwed.
If you're thinking that those guys down the stretch, and I watched the event at Dallas this week or Colonial, if you watch how that last group hit so many bad shots over the last six holes. And so for the amateur golfer that thinks that a pro golfer never hits a bad shot is crazy. And if for somebody that thinks, hey, I'm nervous on the first tee at a tournament, I'm going to play poorly. Well, guess what? Everyone else is just as nervous. But for those guys, I mean, they were peeing down their leg down the stretch and it wasn't impressive, but somebody had to win.
Do you think that it's a slowing down when you're in that place, or do you think that it's being comfortable in that heightened mindset?
Both.
So one of the things that one of my favorite people I ever visited, and I visited him twice now, and I'm going to go out and work with him again, is Mike Malaska. And he has stories for days about working with Jack. And one story that always has stuck with me is he watched some guy at a club walk up to Jack and say, how do you turn off that extra excitement? How do you control that when you're coming up the 18th and I'm playing in the club championship and I've got to beat this guy? Like, what do I do? And he goes, why would you ever want to turn that off? You just have to be comfortable in that place. Yeah. And take it as this adrenaline that's going to feed your fire, not defeat you or right. not put it out. And I just thought, I'd never yeah. forgotten that story. And it's so incredible. So that's why I say when, you know, you see someone walking down 18 of Augusta and they have, you know, one shot lead, or like they're probably shitting their pants, like mm-hmm. hoping that they're not going to chili dip it. But I think it's being comfortable in that place
yeah.
and embracing it.
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it. All right, let's do this. Let's take a commercial break and we come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this fitness part, because something that interested me in some of my research on you, Ashley, research. Was, you know, you talk about golf fitness, but your foundation is mostly fitness that tends to benefit golf. Your background comes from playing all the sports, mm-hmm. right? Which we've talked about, and I want to talk about again. You know, we all want to be great golfers. We want our kids to become great golfers. You and I failed in that, at least with my kid, right? Trying to get him into a golf. But I got him into a whole bunch of other sports. There's value in this, at least mm-hmm. according to Ashley Husing. So come on back. You're on the Golf Underground ESPN Radio. Hey, Brian Sullivan, Golf Underground, with a little tip for you. If you're looking to buy a new Ford, you have to check out my buddy, Jason Gudenkauf at Lewisburg Ford. They've been saving Midwest Ford buyers thousands of bucks for over 40 years because they do business the right way. They sell everything, check this out, for $50 over invoice. That's simple and cheap. And they win a lot of awards. In fact, they won Ford's President's Award 17 times. That's the top Ford award. And they only give it to dealers with superior customer satisfaction in sales and service. So they know how to take care of customers better than anybody. Now, what these guys know how to do also, keep this in mind, sell trucks. Lewisburg Ford has sold more F-150s than any other Ford dealership in Greater Kansas City. That's 2 years running. And last year, they were the number one F-150 sales leader in the entire state of Kansas. So, no hassle. $50 over invoice pricing, unparalleled customer satisfaction, and a huge selection. That's a perfect recipe for selling trucks. So, check out all their inventory and prices online at lewisburgford.com or give them a call at 816-444-2300.
New golf clubs, a big screen TV to watch the U.S. Open, or maybe even a new golf cart that I've got my eye on.
No matter how you choose to spend the savings, if you're looking to put a dent in your monthly heating and cooling bills, the answer may be right over your head. If your attic isn't insulated properly, you're missing out on a prime opportunity to cut costs. Call the certified energy experts at Star Companies, Inc., 816-353-2160, for a free estimate to learn how they can help you save money. 816-353-2160, or visit starcompanieskc.com.
Do you have retirement dreams about perfecting your swing and spending your time on the green? Or maybe you have a bucket list of golf courses you'd like to travel to. Whatever your financial goals are, Mariner Wealth Advisors is your advocate. We take the same care in understanding where you stand today as we do in understanding where you want to be in the future. Then, we help you set a personalized plan to help you achieve your long-term vision. Contact Mariner Wealth Advisors today to start your financial planning journey. visit MarinerWealthAdvisors.com to find a location near you.
Mariner Wealth Advisors, otherwise known as MWA, is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Registration of an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training. For additional information about MWA, including fees and services, please contact MWA or refer to the disclosures on our website. Please read the disclosure statement carefully before you invest or send money. This advertisement should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so.
Welcome back. Golf Underground ESPN Radio. We're with Ashley Hoosing, George Wardo, and Sully here, and we are in the new stable. We'll see how it goes, George.
New Golf
see
Underground.
If you'll invite us back, because this is kind of cozy.
It's nice down here.
Quiet. We don't have the, you know, that whap sound of the simulator, you know?
Yep. That's why we're not there today.
That's why we're not there today. This is wonderful. All right, so in the two previous segments, we spoke with Ashley about her travels around the country. 20 for 20, I believe, is this branded. She's going to write a couple books. We'll have her back on once her book agent signs the deal, and she'll tell us where you can buy it. I'm sure it'll be all over every Barnes and Noble. But I'm interested in this conversation of fitness, not golf fitness, and as it relates to kids, right? So, I coached a lot of coached baseball, coached lacrosse, basketball. Mostly you do it to hang around with your kids, right? That's the whole purpose. But the balance between teaching them a whole bunch of stuff, just be fit and have fun.
Yes.
And what we're finding, I think, a guy like Gary Woodland became great because he was great at other things.
Yes.
So I'll pose this to all of you. Should you become great at other things and the byproduct will be you will become great at golf, or should we focus just on golf?
100% play every sport you possibly can. So I'm finishing TPI Junior right now, actually, and putting together a boot camp or a summer camp for juniors. If you have six stations, you want maybe two of them to be golf related. Everything else is kicking, striking, throwing, coordination, stability, and then maybe give them a golf club in one or two of the stations. I think that when you're looking at transitions from professional athletes into golf, you're seeing that like there's a lot of capabilities from the coordination stability standpoint that are coming in from other sports that are allowing them to be very successful and efficient golfers. So if we teach our juniors and our players to just be better, more rounded and more healthy and more flexible and better stability and mobility, then you're going to see the increase in their golf game and their lifestyle. Like I always say, at some point, since I'm getting older now, thank you, Kevin, for bringing that up earlier, by the way.
Oh, really? You act like you're 75 years old. I mean,
I didn't say you're old. George, I said,
really
I was trying to back into how old
exactly.
You are. I'm a numbers guy.
I have to say, though, this is really bad because as we age, like our basic lifestyle movements are where we get injured, right? Like I had 100%. Something in my back seat the other day and I did like, you know, the extend and the bend and turn to try and pick it up out of the back seat, pulled my neck. Like something happened. I couldn't sleep the whole night. And that is the reality of just getting older. But really through fitness, we really just want you to be a well-rounded, great at stability, mobility, good, strong core, you know, good, strong, fit body to just live your most efficient life, which will eventually translate into golf.
Love it.
I agree 100%. 100%.
How did you being as good at baseball, how did it translate to golf?
It wasn't that hard. As long as if I put my mind to it and I started going out and learning how to swing a golf club, if somebody was there and got me early, I would just go. I was a weekend warrior, you know,
yeah,
playing golf. I wouldn't play during the off season or during the season. I'd play off days only. I was a 16, 17 handicap. Could hit the shit out of it. Didn't know where it was going. Snap hook, big slice, chunk them, you know, three in the bunker, four in the bunker, five in the bunker.
Then four, one of those guys. Then a four putt.
And then, yeah, two or three putt. And then, you know, you pull out a nice nine and you say, well, the most I can take is a double bogey, so give me a six.
Speaking my language.
But once I learned the basics of the game, it was simple. It got easier. I'm still learning. I still see Wardo once in a while. And, you know, when I learned, when he told me to really fasten my feet into the ground. Grip the ground and have good posture.
Yes.
Stay in that posture. And then the swing is very natural. It's very similar to a baseball mm-hmm. swing to me. And if I can do those things, if I can screw my feet into the ground and remain in my good posture and not swing as hard as I can, I always try to tell myself to swing 90 to 95% and never really stop moving. You know, you see a lot of guys with a waggle. I don't stop. I'm always having some movement. And I forget the saying again, you know me and my sayings, mm-hmm. A body or
emotion stays in motion.
Yeah.
Newton's law.
Yeah. It's that thing, that thing. But
a fatty at rest stays in rest.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I played golf. I was playing golf the last couple of days with a friend of mine from South Carolina, Taco, and his son was playing for the third time and he would stand there. He would be a statue for like 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then he would try to bring the club back. And I'm going. Jet, his name's Jet. I'd say, Jet, don't stop moving. Yeah. As soon as you put the club down, swing. And he'd be there, and he had to go through his checklist of things that he had to do. And yeah, he had some good shots, but I think he would have hit a lot more good shots if he didn't think as much, and he would just try to be athletic.
So when I was playing on tour, I worked with Pia Nilsson and Lynn Marriott, who, if you haven't talked to them, they're fantastic.
I need to.
Vision 54 is basically pre-shot routine. Everything that happens before you hit the ball. What's your routine? What's your cadence? What does your cadence match your lifestyle and your personality? What does that look like? And so I think there's so much pre-shot. And we talk about the Mickelson that these guys have been, they worked with Annika for years and they've been preaching for years. And I just think us as Americans, we want to talk, let's hit full seven irons and drivers and new clubs versus all the other aspects of the game. Right. And so to your point, like I can tell a good player when I see their pre-shot, I don't need to see them swing it.
Right.
I can tell their pre-shot. And a guy that freezes over it for 40 seconds, not only is he probably not going to be very good, he's going to probably
drive everyone nuts,
slow down the entire golf course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's not invited back to play on Saturday.
No. Sure.
Well, when you and I played with old Tommy Watson, we had our little scramble
name
out
dropper.
There. Right?
Bragger.
Name dropper again.
Yeah.
Hey, sure. This is brutal back here.
Oh, it's horrible.
They're horrible.
As he just got off his G5 airplane, you bitch.
How about when we played with Bill? Hey, how about when we played with Bill Self? Oh, name dropper.
Name dropper.
But remember I started doing I did it as a joke.
Yeah.
The Matty Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
Watson
I figured, listen, why not just make this fun, right? Set a little... And it helped me a ton, and I've gotten away from it. But to your point, I think it gets the body in motion a little bit, mm-hmm. right? And one other thing I want to bring up, which you just brought up, Wardo, which I hadn't thought of in a while, matching the cadence of your own body, right? That's a good one, and I think that relates to putting a lot. I think, you know, there's some folks who, if they're sort of fast-moving folks, that's their metabolism, it's their personality. If they stand over that putt, long,
no chance.
They're hosed. And, mm-hmm. and I have to remind myself of this. Honestly, when I feel like I really don't give a damn, or it's probably why when we miss the 7-footer and we try it again, you know, because you're more on that fast pace way. But boy, can making it a habit, that's, and reminding yourself, there's a lot of thinking that has to go on.
When a junior player or somebody comes in and wants to work on putting, the first thing I say is show me your routine. And if they're puzzled, then that's a problem, right? Because everybody should have an amazing routine. I think you and I talked. I make 3 putting strokes continuous, feeling the speed, step in, look once, and go. Okay. Some people, Woodland and I, will go back and forth on this. He'll step in right now, no putting strokes, step in and go like a free throw shooter in basketball. And, you know, for me, I would argue that you're going to struggle with speed. Why not allow yourself to feel that a little bit? If not, if you have 36 putts that day, you're only going to make 36 putting strokes versus a person that's getting the feel. So I'm a fan of finding the flow and the rhythm, but everybody's different. And what's great about putting is it's an art. Okay. So whether you want to go claw, left hand low, whatever it is, get it in the hole as fast as you can with good speed.
What's your take on the forward press?
I view the forward press as more of a trigger mechanism right now than anything. I think people that have a nice forward press, and they used to have a little bit more of it in the old days, I like that because that engages the putter and keeps the putter flowing. Yeah, if you forward press at 4 degrees, there's a really good chance your putter is going to be open. But I like a trigger. I'm good with that. And that's why I love Wolf's stuff. 7, 10 years ago, I think I would have looked at Wolf and been like, nah. But there's just the way he moves through a space is fascinating.
Yeah. Well, and your boy Chuck Cook probably would have tried to change him a few years back too, wouldn't he?
Yeah. The old purists. Yeah. I mean, swing it on plane, go left. I mean, that's, but the science doesn't lie. And if you're good waist high to waist high, Furyk's phenomenal at that. There's a lot of people that it looks like a wet octopus falling out of a tree. And, you know, through impact, it's pretty damn consistent.
It was me on the back nine on Sunday, Wardo. You'd be proud of me.
It was pretty damn consistent.
Well, I had the back problems on the front. I need to be healed. In fact, I got a big match tomorrow.
There you go.
I hopefully won't shoot a 48 on the front, 37 on the back like I did the other day. But I did manage my 84. Okay. All right. So here's what we're going to do. Wardo, we're coming to your favorite segment. After this commercial break, what do we call this and who's it sponsored by?
It's the old Sheridan's Unforked, eating good and feeling good, rapid fire questions. Okay, are you prepared?
We don't have the boxing one. We don't have, what do we call the
well,
other
we're
one?
Just going to go to the emergency
what
nine.
What the other one?
Well, we had the boxing one.
We had the boxing one with Bill Self because we can't
guard
the zone.
And then we did the cycle with Ozzie.
Yeah, batting for the cycle with Ozzie Smith.
So this is the front nine.
This is the front
nine.
I was not told about this rapid fire questioning here.
Ooh.
But I'm ready. Let's go.
Do you think she's going to want the questions or she's going to be like Lisa Cornwest?
No, no. By the way, you don't even prepare them. They just flow right out of your mouth like diarrhea. God. All right. We're with Ashley Hoosing in the trek across America, trying to find every idiot she can to have a cocktail with and grab a microphone. Come on back. You're on a Golf Underground ESPN Radio. Hey, Brian Sullivan here, and I've got a tip for you. You've got to head to Unforked. It's an amazing restaurant. What I like about these guys is they promise to buy and support seasonal, local ingredients first. And I love the fact that they source from smaller, family, GAP-certified, or organic farms, prime-going regions, artists and producers. All I'm getting at is, if you like fresh stuff, Unforked is the place to be. And like they say it, fork or no fork, you can be sure you're getting the highest quality, socially responsible ingredients possible. And not to mention, it's delicious. So whether you're out south or downtown, stop by Unforked for a delicious and healthy meal. Sheridan's Unforked, honest, clean food.
Cowell Insurance Services is your leading program administrator for workers' compensation. They're dedicated to meeting the unique challenges of the insurance industry and assisting employers in reducing their costs. CIS has provided insurance, claim, and loss control services to various industries, including trucking, construction, retail convenience stores, and healthcare, as well as public entities for over 30 years. They work with both retail agents and industry clients, or a combination of the two. If you're tired of fighting the rising costs of premiums and claims, give Cowell Insurance Services a call. Their dedicated staff is ready to find you the best insurance option at the most competitive price. They can help to define or enhance your safety program in order to move you in the right direction in reducing your claim and premium costs. Contact Cowell Insurance Services today, 816-214-4070.
Hey, Brian Sullivan from the Golf Underground here with a little good news. And that good news is that even double-digit handicappers like me can occasionally make a double eagle. All right, maybe not on a golf course, but even guys like me can score when buying a new car or truck. I'm talking about two stores, two brothers, and four generations, treating customers just like family. I'm talking about our buddies at Bobsite Ford and Bobsite Independence Kia. With these guys, you'll always score two under, with double the inventory and double the customer satisfaction. That's the Bobsite Double Eagle. Now, Bobsite offers a wide selection of vehicles and promise to make the car buying process as quick and as hassle-free as possible. Now, whether you have poor credit, no credit, or maybe a first-time car buyer, you can trust Bobsite Ford. And Bobsite Independence Kia will get you into the car or truck you choose with professionalism and attention to your needs. So go visit our buddies at Bobsite.com, but only if you're looking for a vehicle that makes you feel like a U.S. Open champion. All right, hey, welcome back, Golf Underground ESPN Radio. We're here with George Sully Wardo and our new friend, our new bestie, Ashley Husing. Yeah, and so we're excited to be a small part of your little journey. And while we do live in a very depressing, dark town, you've added a little sunshine.
Way to be a great salesman.
Thank you.
Way to be a great salesman.
I've had a blast hanging out with Kevin over here, and you know, just meeting you guys today, my face hurts. From the smiles and the laughs. So thank you for making my face hurt.
That was the poison that George put in your scotch.
Oh, perfect. It's working. Thank you.
All right. Now, listen, Ashley, you had a question of George before
it
the
does,
break.
It does look like ginger ale, though, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. For the video.
Yeah.
Although I am a hawkaholic, so I mean.
Yes.
There you go. Yes. The hawkaholic is at it again.
All right. Now, before we go to the to Wardo's favorite segment, the front nine, you had a question for George that you promised you were going to ask.
So. I did. So I had a great conversation with a good friend of mine earlier talking about how long it takes to watch a baseball game right now. So we were talking a little bit earlier about routines. So tell me what your opinion is about all of these new superstitions and routines that are slowing down baseball and golf.
Well, I don't think it's all superstitions and routines. I think there's more strikeouts than balls put in play.
Yes.
And so a pitcher, let's say, throws five pitches. Back in the old days, he might throw two, and the ball would be put in play. There's too many strikeouts in the game of baseball right now. All of a sudden, when the guys from Harvard and Princeton and the Brown and Cornell started getting involved with baseball and doing all these stats, I can't even read a baseball article anymore. I don't know what they mean. They have all these formulas, you know, and it used to be batting averages, home runs, doubles, RBIs, and runs scored. That's it. Now there's all this other stuff. Now they have WAR, OPS, and all this stuff. And I think longer at bats are one of the things that they're trying to, you know, get the starting pitcher out of the game. And there's more strikeouts. And so when balls are not put in play, the game becomes pretty boring. And I remember when I played back in the day, if our pitcher couldn't throw a strike, it gets boring out there as a position player, because every pitcher saying, hit it to me. And you know, he might throw one strike and walk a guy. He might throw one strike and walk two guys, or, you know, walk two guys and only throw two strikes. And all of a sudden you're out there, hit it to me, and all of a sudden you lose interest. Come on, let's put the ball in play. And then all of a sudden, you're not ready. You're saying, oh, screw that, you know? And then they hit a tee and you end up making an error. But I really think the pace of play, and this is what I've said for years, I never wore any body armor. I never wore elbow pads. I never wore ankle pads. I didn't even wear batting gloves. You know, I was
hence all the pine tar.
Yeah, well, exactly. But now they got to refix their gloves every time. And let's say a guy walks and he has to take off his shin guard. Then he's got to take off his elbow guard. And then he hits a double. Well, the guy's got to run out there. The bat boy's got to run all the way to second base. And he's got now the guy's got to take off his elbow guard, his you know. And then they take off their batting gloves. Now they have baseball gloves they put on for sliding.
Yeah.
In case they run, like I call them kitchen mitts. That's what they look like.
Yeah.
Then they got to put those on. I got an idea.
What about the celebration? Before you go
wear,
there, what about the celebrations
wear,
where they look over at their buddies and they do their
they
little
have to
dance?
Have their own signs.
Yeah,
and
you
stuff
love
too.
That, right?
I don't like that either.
Yeah.
And then I was going to, oh, whatever you wear at a home plate, you run the bases with it. So if you're going to wear a shin guard, you're going to wear an ankle guard, you're going to wear an elbow pad, hey, you got to wear that on the bases too.
Yeah.
I love it.
Wear it.
Yeah. Be way
that
less
would,
steals.
That would save, and they're talking about, we got to cut 3 minutes or 5 minutes out of the game.
Yeah. It's a half
but
hour.
That would cut 5 minutes out of the game there. Right there. Yeah. So there's things to do, but I think the biggest culprit right now is the slow play in baseball is that, I mean, they even came up with a rule that the pitcher has to face three guys. You can't bring in a lefty to face a lefty, a righty to face a righty, and then a lefty to face the next lefty.
That slows it down.
Yeah. That slows it down. Yeah. You can only have 5 mound visits or 6 mound visits a day or per game, each team. You know, that's going to speed it up a little bit. But, hey, let's just quit striking out. Let's put the ball in play. People don't want to see guys strike out unless – we're in Kansas City, and Brad Keller or Duffy's pitching, yeah, you'd like to see him strike out 10 guys.
Yeah.
But when I watched a game the other day on the – I was out of town, but I watched the thing on MLB.com. Yeah, I watched the game highlights. I think there was – we were playing Tampa Bay. I think there was 22 strikeouts and 7 hits in the whole game.
Ugh.
There's – people are so boring. They're not going to want to watch that anymore.
No, it's like watching a guy shoot 77 in the U.S. Open.
Hits. Yeah. They want to see athletic plays made in the outfield.
Yeah. Right.
They want to see athletic plays made by infielders. These guys are good.
Yeah.
They're good. Pitchers should just throw it down the middle and let these guys hit it to them.
Well, you know? And the shift. Now, I know you like the shift, too.
The shift. I mean,
you love the shift.
I get so frustrated when they put three guys on one side of the infield and the guy hits a ground ball to him. Hit the ball the other way. It's not that freaking hard.
Well, that's what we're working. To be honest, that's what we talk about. It back to the correlation between golf and baseball. It's path corrections, right? If the pitcher is ground zero, that would be a zero path. Okay, if you're going to take the pitcher's face off,
right,
with a hit. That's zero. If you're going to pull it, that's 1 degree left, 2 degrees left, and so on down the foul pole. That's okay. Why you go to the softball game and watch all these jack-offs hit it down the left field line, and then they come out to the driving range and they hit pull cuts because it's over the top slice bejesus. So what we're working with her on is her path gets too far to out over the second baseman, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the more that we can get her neutral or swinging the club straight, then that puts less curve on the golf ball. So yeah, it's all about zeroing out everything.
Yeah.
And so, again, the dad wants to come in and say, oh, Tommy can't play golf and baseball the same. It's like,
baloney.
It's all the same. You're swinging. In golf, you're more bent over. You're swinging around the axis. There's planes out to right field over the pitcher and left. And people need to learn how to control their path, whether they're in the MLB, on the softball tour, or playing competitive golf. Mm-hmm. Here at the end.
Yeah. Look, Jimmy, Johnny, and Jessica should all be playing baseball while they're playing golf, because if you're an overall better athlete, you're just going to be better at all of the sports.
Sure.
I think you give up on baseball and you play lacrosse, Ashley.
I mean, I played...
This weekend? Maryland, Virginia, it's the fastest game in sports, for crying out loud.
I used to go to Rockhurst lacrosse games a lot. A friend of mine's son played on. I'd go watch him.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. Use all parts of your body, and you get to blow people up, and it only takes 2 hours.
Yep.
That's how you play a nice
game. So what about, do you think they should change the rule of the batter sitting in the batter's box, or the amount of time he can step in and out? Because there's so many times they call time.
Well, and they flash signs to the hitter every time. And now players, you watch a game nowadays, players have these sweatbands like the quarterback has, and they have cue cards in their pocket or in their hat. And every time a guy comes up, it'll say, oh, I got to play this guy over here. We used to just have a guy going, whistling, get over. Play him in the alley. Blow. And go. No, come on in. This guy doesn't have any power, you know? That's what they used to do. Now everybody's got cards. You watch a college game, they got the sweatbands like Joe Montana used to have. And they would go in the huddle and they would look at it. College does that every pitch.
Ugh.
Every pitch they do it.
Oh, yikes.
It drives you absolutely crazy.
Forget it.
Let me ask you this. Which game, golf or baseball, needs to be sped up more?
Baseball.
Good answer. I think
baseball.
Because at least golf, you can switch from one guy to the next hole, to the next putt, to the next drive. Mm-hmm. So for us, I never get bored. You know, watch. There's always a good player to watch. Whereas baseball, you got to wait for the next guy to get up.
Now, in 20, 30 years, would you be extremely pissed if all of a sudden they came out and said, you know what, we're going to go to two, we're going to play doubleheaders every game, we're going to shorten the season days-wise, and we're going to play 2 6-inning games?
Yeah, that's just not baseball. It's not baseball.
Right. How's that not baseball?
It's not.
You play 12 innings a day, 7 days a week?
No, you play... whatever you take.
Back in the old days, you know what they used to do? They would play. They would play 6 days a week, doubleheader on Sunday and off Monday, and that was for traveling. That's when you had to take the train to get from
The Brooklyn Boston, Dodgers over and up to Boston.
You know, you'd have a day off. They'd get on the train and they'd take the train down. But it used to be doubleheader every Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think it can be a...
So moral of the story
I love the idea of seven-inning doubleheaders. I love that. Do you? Even now?
Yeah. Really? I think it messes with the records, though. I like the old baseball records. I think it messes with the records. So I
just said, no, you said six-inning games, played eight doubleheaders a week and all that
seven,
stuff.
Seven-inning games, whatever.
That's a doubleheader. Doubleheader. It's too taxing. It's too taxing on players. It kills them. Let's say you play 18 innings, and let's say one game goes, first game goes 13 innings. Now you're playing 22 innings, and you usually got a game the next day.
Yeah, it'd be boring.
That's okay, there's been a lot of talk on speeding up golf in the 12 hole golf course.
Oh come on! I would shoot my age.
Yeah, you shoot your age a lot.
I can shoot my age.
You almost did this weekend. What are you talking about?
I came close.
Three eagles almost for crying out loud. All right. Well, listen, Ashley, we've taken so much of your time right now.
We got rapid fire.
We're going right to rapid fire, of course.
You know, normally this is emergency nine, but for the sake of time, in the sake of this new thing, we're going to go the emergency six.
I love it.
You ran out of content, did you?
No. I can go all day. Just the cameras over here.
It's like the British Open. They play three holes.
Yep.
Okay, no, this is like the British and the Scottish Open. We're going to play six holes.
Yes.
Three.
Okay. She's going to be questions left and right.
Okay.
Ashley, are you ready?
Yes, I'm
That's
ready.
Question number one, by the way.
Is this like full sentence
Sheridan's unforked. Quick,
answers.
Rapid fire. There's no
Don't
rapid
get
fire.
Verbose.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay.
It's like going to your shrink and he says, tell me the first thing that comes into your mind.
The best ball striker you have ever seen in person. Quick.
Oh, shit, I don't know.
Too long.
Oh. Too long.
No. Can I not get a warm-up
the pace of play. Okay, if you had to take one PGA Tour, LPGA Tour's short game, who would it be?
Phil.
I like that. And why?
He's money.
You're supposed to say he gets it up and down out of a trash can.
I mean, he does get up and down out of a trash can.
Whose answers are these anyway?
First you got to drop it out of the trash can.
Third question, the third hole of the day. Don't let him break you. If you could trade being the best putter or being a bomber of the golf ball, what would you be?
I'd be the best putter.
Why?
Because you're hitting more putts than drives every round, people. So you're out there on the driving range.
That's a great answer.
Logic. You're all just bombing the driver the whole time. You're hitting 36, hopefully not 36, maybe a little less than 36. You're hitting 36 putts, and you're going to hit maybe 14 drives, people.
Maybe.
Do the math.
Maybe. All right,
you're the best putter.
Impromptu question.
Okay.
How many of the listeners?
If you're the best putter, you're not going to putt 36 times. How many times would you putt, you think?
29.
On a good round?
I'm hoping 29.
How many? 29?
29 putts. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. If impromptu question, great segue. How many people in this listenership do you think have been fit for a putter?
Ooh, 10%.
I'm going to go ahead and venture to say 3.
Really? I feel like I was being kind of nice. With
you?
No.
Who here is in this room has ever been fit for a putter? Well, not...
I was going to do it one time at Kevin's studio, but it cost too much. I couldn't afford it.
Yeah. Well,
I just went back to my 1982
I'm on a fixed income. I'm retired.
You did?
Yes. But I put the fancy thick grip on it. So it's like, you know, retro.
A big fat
and,
boy.
And a little cool, like new.
Sully rolls his rock. He doesn't need... Okay. And the last question of this emergency six-hole scramble hit and giggle is your dream foursome. You can include George if you want. And go.
My dream foursome? Oh, God.
Gosh,
well, how about everyone in this room right here? Can we do this for four more hours?
Well, then you play 36 that day.
Okay. 8 hours.
No, you played 12. You played 24. We're going to play 12 on the front, 12 on the back.
Okay. Yep. So, well, first 12, obviously, everyone in this room. Then I'm going to say Jack... Oh, God. Jack, Annika. I like Michelle. Let's bring Michelle Wee in.
Yes.
And yeah. And how about a little Bubba?
Ooh.
Whoa.
I know. I just threw a little left side.
What's the follow-up on that? Why?
Not opposed
to it. Just curious.
I just, you know, I don't want to like, you know, shit talk or anything. I just feel like his mentality of just self-taught, going out there. I just want to pick that brain and just see what he's done to be in the elite level of golf on his own.
I asked Pat Brooks that same question. He said, Patrick Reed, Patrick Reed, Patrick Reed.
Oh.
Why?
And what was the why behind that?
Because one year we were playing golf at his club down in the Bahamas, and it was right after the New Year's, and I said, Pat, what's your New Year's resolution? And he said, thought for a second, and he said, okay, I'm not going to cheat in golf this year. And there was about a 10-second pause, and then he said, as much.
You know, the jokes are going to get so much better when you're 70 years old. all right, guys. Well, this has been a wonderful show. Ashley, we're rooting for you. And where can we follow this journey? I'm assuming you're an Insta star by now.
Yes, I have an Insta. So the Insta is @livinggolffit_Ashley. You can also check out the website at 20in20pro.com, 20in20pro.com. Follow the journey. Send me requests. Send me people who, like, if there's a badass in your neighborhood, please DM me. And
we did that with Stinky in Lawrence.
Yes, Stinky in Lawrence, Kansas. I'm coming for you.
He would be great.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get her Bill. She can go hang out with Bill Clinton down in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Huh? There you go. Weren't we trying to get him too?
Yeah, we can get him.
Get him on the underground.
Yeah.
All right. So, Ashley, you are awesome. Hey, you arrived safe on the G5. Fun day.
I love this new stable. This Golf Underground is fantastic.
Yes.
The drinks are nice.
And we've got a nice program coming up with who's our next big wig?
I can't reveal just yet.
Really? You don't want to do a little teaser?
Nope.
NCAA?
I'll give you a hint. NCAA basketball, period, the end.
Announcer.
Oh, yeah, you told me.
You turned
the
teaser into...
Oh, yeah. This is a good one. He might even be
is this over
a little better than Sean McDonough is in football.
Is this on the air, or is this live like this? Not live, but yeah, is he going to be in person, or is he going to be over the phone?
Well, that's up to you. You're a good salesman.
Yeah, they come for you, George. They don't come for us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, listen, hope you had a great time. You've been listening to George Wardo Sully and our new bestie, Ashley, on the Golf Underground ESPN Radio. See you next week. Whoa.